This is Drew Mackey, and you're listening to Singing Mountain. Happy October. Not quite happy Halloween, but happy October, which, again, for some people is a month-long celebration. Last year, around this time, I did an episode titled An 8-Bit Halloween, which was just a big mix of creepy, scary music from the NES days. And I kind of did it on the fly. The previous episode to that was something called The Vengeful Ghost of Super Mario, which was the creepy side of Mario music, because I think a lot of people think of Mario as being smiley clouds and smiling bushes and smiling everything, but sometimes it could get a little creepy. And people seemed to respond to that episode, so I threw out another one that people actually seemed to like even more, which was just a general 8-bit Halloween, all NES or Famicom, and all how composers back in the day tried to approximate scary or creepy or ominous or maybe on the fun side of spooky. I like that episode. If you haven't listened, go ahead and listen to that. But first, listen to this episode. This episode is An 8-Bit Halloween, Part 2, : the sequel. Because, you know, slasher movies have a lot of sequels, and I thought that my big horror effort could also have another sequel. I couldn't do a sequel to the Spooky Mario episode because I don't have enough to fill a second episode of Spooky Mario music. But I very quickly amassed a pretty good playlist for this episode, and it's been sitting in Google Docs all this time, waiting for October, waiting for you, and waiting for you to, you know, listen at work and make all your coworkers think you're a weirdo. Because it'll make the office sound like a haunted house. I'm going to be doing this episode rock block style, where I'll intro a group of 3 to 4 to 5 related songs at once and just play them back to back to back. So maybe, hopefully, I can create a little bit of a mood, kind of the idea behind this episode. Before I get to that, I want to read a review I got on iTunes. It's a real short one from Ryan Ross W., who is nice enough to give me 5 stars. Thank you, Ryan. Love the collections you've made here, man. Keep it up. Smiley face. That's it. Dude, thank you. I really appreciate that. You took a second out of your day to give this podcast a rate and review, which is helpful for all the reasons you've heard a million times that I won't go into now. And so I'm going to ask you, if you're listening to this podcast now and you've enjoyed this podcast in the past, please give me a rate and review. Please? And now, music. Our first block of songs all come from Gargoyle's Quest 2, which came out for the Famicom in 1992 and then later also the NES, and is actually a prequel to the game called Gargoyle's Quest that was released for the Game Boy. In all the Gargoyle's Quest games, you control a character named Firebrand, who's a red gargoyle dude, who a lot of people are probably familiar with as a result of his appearance in Marvel vs. Capcom 3, where he's ostensibly playing the foe to Arthur, who's the representative of the Ghouls and Ghosts franchise. Firebrand actually does come from the Ghouls and Ghosts games. In those games, there is a recurring red gargoyle enemy called the Red Aramer, A-R-R-E-M-E-R, I have no idea what that word means or where it came from. If you have any theories, please tell me, because I tried to figure out an etymology and could not. It's probably something translated from Japanese and unrecognizable in English, but I cannot figure out what it is. As a spinoff to the Ghouls and Ghosts games, one Red Armor got his own franchise, small franchise, but three games is enough. And he's the hero, you play as him, he has magic powers, really good games. I played the NES one and also the Super NES one and love them and have fond memories of those soundtracks, which are very good. In addition to Marvel vs. Capcom 3, Firebrand also appears as a boss in SNK vs. Capcom SVC Chaos, where he represents sort of the devil and Athena from the Athena side-scrollers represents kind of God, and they are both final bosses. Although in that game, he's referred to as Red Aramur, and I wonder if in Japan he's ever been referred to actually as Firebrand. It might be he's the one Red Aramur among all the Red Aramurs, just like Yoshi's the Yoshi among the Yoshis, even though they're all called Yoshi. Anyway, I digress. I'm going to have some tangents in this episode because I love my obscure video game lore, but for the moment, please enjoy three tracks from Gargoyle's Quest 2, composed by Yuki Iwai. First, we have The Ghoul Realm. Second, we have Labyrinth of Mirrors. And third, Dark Forest of Hidden. Enjoy. Thank you. So next up, we have a general mix, which features tracks from the Friday the 13th NES game, Sweet Home, which was released for the Famicom, Dragon Quest III, and finally Shadowgate. Of those three, the one that's going to be unfamiliar to most of you is Sweet Home, because it never was released in the United States. It's kind of an interesting game. It's an RPG made by Capcom that was inspired by a Japanese horror movie, also called Sweet Home, and both the movie and the game are about a group of people investigating a haunted house. I actually used the lobby theme from Sweet Home in the first 8-bit NES Halloween mix, if you want to go listen to that. But that was a big mix without me talking about it, so I'll just tell you right now. Apparently, in some ways, Sweet Home was the genesis of the Resident Evil games, where the idea of structuring a game around investigating a spooky house sort of originated with Sweet Home, and then some of those elements carried over to Resident Evil, allegedly. Very interesting. First, you're going to hear the cabin theme from Friday the 13th. It's composed by Hirohiko Takayama. Then you're going to hear the basement theme from Sweet Home, composed by Junko Tamaya. Then Pyramid from Dragon Quest III, composed by Koichi Sugiyama. And finally, the title theme from Shadowgate, composed by Hiroyuki Masuno. Thank you. another game that I used a few times in the last 8-Bit Halloween episode is Splatterhouse Wanpaku Graffiti. If you know the Splatterhouse games, you're familiar that it's the one where you control a guy who looks like he's wearing Michael Myers' jumpsuit, but Jason's mask from Friday the 13th. It's not actually that, but it just looks a lot like that. And it was a gory beat-em-up where you're just pounding monsters and there's blood splattering everywhere. It's called Splatterhouse. They actually made a cutesy version of this for the Famicom called Wanpaku Graffiti. Wanpaku Graffiti apparently means naughty graffiti. I don't really understand what that is, but everything in this game is squat, super deformed, and very cute. The soundtrack to this game is really good, and I think does a good job of representing this whole 8-bit spooky sound that I'm going for. What's interesting about these tracks is that they are titled, in order, Diamond Lake, Diamond Camp, and then The Cabin. If you go look at a playthrough of this game on YouTube, you'll see these stages, and it very much seems like they're doing a riff on Friday the 13th, which I think they probably were. And when I say Friday the 13th, I mean the movies and not the game, because both this game and the Friday the 13th game came out in 1989, so I don't think they had time to make fun of each other. But I just like that someone amused themselves with making fun of Friday the 13th conventions in a platformer video game. All three of these are composed by someone named Anna Peruna, which does not actually sound like a Japanese name to me, and I know nothing about this person, male or female. This is the only credit they have that I can find. So, you know who Anna Peruna is, please tell me and tell me why they have a non-Japanese sounding name. Here is the music. Thank you. So up next, I have another general mix. First, you're going to hear the boss battle theme from Wizards and Warriors, composed by David Wise, which is a much chiller boss battle theme than you really hear in most games. Most games have a very aggro boss battle theme, and this one's a little spookier, a little bit more laid back. Then we have Kagura Temple from the Nintendo game Famicom Tantai Club, The Missing Heir. It's the visual novel detective series that Nintendo used to have back in the day. And then we have a track called Skull Island, which was composed by Harumi Fujita, who's a fairly well-known Capcom composer, and comes from a game either titled Makai Island or Higamaru Makajima. It was a Japanese game that was never released in the United States, but apparently was intended to be released in the United States, as there's a English language prototype for it that you can find floating around online. It's kind of an interesting one, and again, I hate to jump into the weeds here, but in researching this game, I came across some cool stuff. So this particular game that I'm going to play music from shortly is the sequel to a Japanese arcade game that also never came to the United States. That game was called Pirate Ship Higamaru, and you controlled a happy little sailor dude named Momotaro who was moving around a single screen maze area and throwing barrels and other objects at enemies. This sequel that came out for the Famicom was a little bit more like Legend of Zelda. Still, you're playing as Momotaro, the happy sailor, and he kind of still has a presence in Capcom lore, weirdly. So two episodes ago, I was talking to you about Ruby Heart, who is a character you see in Marvel vs. Capcom 2 and then kind of never see again. She's a lady pirate. And she exists in the Street Fighter canon now, more or less, alongside Higamaru, their brother and sister, because Capcom decided that there should be a family of pirates in the Street Fighter universe, and they picked these two obscure characters and decided to make them related, because they're pirates, I guess. I'm fairly certain they do not appear in any of the games, but if you look up the Street Fighter encyclopedia that Capcom has provided, you will see that they've gone out of their way to make an expansive universe, and Ruby Heart and Momotaro are apparently included in that. What's even more interesting is that Momotaro was actually intended to be a playable character in Street Fighter V, and his spot ultimately went to Birdie, and I say that's too bad because I never really liked Birdie, and I like the redesign they gave for Momotaro. Previously, he was a happy little, you know, nondescript sailor dude, and as he exists as a Street Fighter character, Momotaro is a big, beardy, burly guy who kind of looks like the equivalent of like a World War II pinup girl if instead of a sexy lady you wanted to make him like a gay bear dude. Very interesting character design. He also would have used his giant barrel in fights and would have loved if they included him. They did not. It's too bad. And that is the pointless little backstory I have for this obscure Capcom game. Sorry if that was boring. I thought it was super interesting. Here is the music, again in order, Wizards and Warriors, Famicom Tantai Club, and then Makai Island. Enjoy. Thank you. Next up, I'm giving you a block of Nintendo titles, but they all happen to be Nintendo titles that were never released outside Japan. Most of them you probably know, like the original Mother / Earthbound Zero and Shin Onigashima, which I've talked about on this podcast before and is one of the better known obscure Nintendo titles, probably. However, I'm also going to be talking about two games that I know I haven't mentioned before and you may not have heard of. The first is Yuyuki, which is sometimes known as Famicom Fairy Tales Yuyuki. It's a take on Journey to the West and is sort of a spiritual sequel to Shin Onigashima, where it's visual novel-esque and the main action involves navigating menu commands. Has a beautiful soundtrack, not by Koji Kondo like Shin Onigashima is, but by Soyo Oka. The other game is also a Nintendo-produced title, which I feel like most people probably haven't heard of. It is titled Time Twist on the Outskirts of History, that is the English translation of the name, and again, it's a visual novel-style game that is principally something you navigate using menu commands, but doesn't really look like Shin Onigashima and Yuyuki. It looks like its own thing. There were some staff members in common on all these games, but very odd game where you play as a kid who gets his body stolen by the devil, I guess, and he subsequently gets lost in time and is going through real life periods in world history and possesses people to get stuff done, which kind of sounds like Super Mario Odyssey in that, like, possessing someone is supposed to be no big deal, like just a casual thing that it's okay to do to people. Kind of a weird concept when you think about it. But yeah, if you're curious, there's a lot of documentation on YouTube. It's a very interesting, strange game. So in order in this block, the first song you're going to hear is A Ghastly Sight from Mother / Earthbound Zero, composed by Keiichi Suzuki and Hirokazu Tanaka. Then you're going to hear Forest from Shin Onigashima, composed by Koji Kondo. Third, you're going to hear Fog from Yuyuki, composed by Soyo Oka. And then I'm going to give you two tracks back to back, which are both from Time Twist on the Outskirts of History. You're going to hear Cave and then Demon from the Museum in that order. That game was composed by Hajime Hirasawa. And then I'm closing this one with one more Mother track. It's just titled Underground. Creepy, creepy underground. Have a listen. Next up, I'm going to give you three tracks from Final Fantasy III, which is the actual Final Fantasy III and not the one that we got called Final Fantasy III because it's on the Famicom. All three are composed by Nobuo Uematsu. First, we have Cursed Town, which is a great example of, for sure, an RPG thing, but maybe an other genre thing too, of the kind of music you hear when you enter a new location and there's something wrong with it. Like, there's a problem that you're probably going to have to solve, and they use the music to instantly tell you that, like, this is not the normal town theme. There is something in this town that is very upsetting, and we're going to tell you right off the bat. Many of you might actually be more familiar with this music from the DS remake of Final Fantasy III, where it's the music you hear in Kazus, where everyone's been turned into a ghost because there's a genie who's causing trouble. The redone version of it for Nintendo DS actually sounds pretty good. It's a nice instrumentation. This one, in its 8-bit version, does a better job of sounding creepy, and I'm not sure exactly why that is, but it's worth noting that sometimes the more limited musical capabilities of an older system can do more than the limitless capabilities of modern-day systems. So it's Cursed Town, and then after that, Dark Warrior's Sacrifice, and then finally Forest of Healing. And I can't remember what part of Final Fantasy III this actually comes from, but it sounds a lot creepier than you'd expect from a Forest of Healing. Thank you. And finally, we have Castlevania. I would be remiss if I did a spooky music episode and didn't include anything from Castlevania. I included 4 in the previous 8-bit Halloween mix, and in this one, I'm giving you 5. First, you're going to hear Heart of Fire from the original Castlevania, composed by Kinyo Yamashita. And then we're going to hear Dwelling of Doom, which is technically from Castlevania 2, but more accurately would be from Dracula 2, because it's the Famicom Disk System version, so it's going to sound a little richer than what you would have heard if you played it on the NES. Dwelling of Doom was composed by Kenichi Matsubara. And then we're going to hear 3 tracks from Castlevania 3, Mad Forest, Nightmare, and Demon Seed, in that order. Castlevania 3's soundtrack was composed by Yoshinori Sasaki, Jun Funahashi, and Yukie Morimoto. Thank you. And that's it. Please subscribe to Singing Mountain on any of the places you would normally find a podcast. Please follow me on social media as well. There's a Facebook page for Singing Mountain. Just Google Singing Mountain and it will come up. Don't go to the bakery. There's a bakery also called Singing Mountain. We're not them. We're not making baked goods. We're the podcast. If you have a question, comment, or criticism about this episode, the easiest way to reach me is via Twitter, where I'm Drew G. Mackey, M-A-C-K-I-E, or via the Singing Mountain Twitter account, SingMoPod, just like it sounds. Please give me a rate and review, which I've already explained is important, but also I just like feedback. I like to know what sits well and what doesn't with you guys. And I hope you like this episode because you're going to get some more like it. I'm going to be doing more Halloween episodes through the end of the month. So stay tuned for those. I have one last track for you on this NES Halloween mix, and it actually comes from a non-NES game, which might seem weird, but it's not. It comes from Super Mario Maker. As you know, you could make any kind of level you wanted, like a lift level or a basement level or an overworld level or a ghost house level, and you could make it in any of the four styles of Mario game that were available in Mario Maker. What's interesting about that is that if you chose to compose in the original Super Mario Brothers style, there was no ghost house template that existed back then because the ghost house didn't come around until Super Mario Brothers 3. So the designers behind that game had to imagine what a Mario ghost house would have looked like back in 1985 and sort of just demake it all, including the music. And I think they did a really good job of estimating what a Mario ghost house would have sounded like back in the day. So I'm going to close out with that because it's very much in the NES style, even if it's not technically from the NES. And also, as I said before, it will be a while before I can make another creepy Super Mario Brothers music episode. The music from Super Mario Maker was composed by Koji Kondo, of course, and also Naoto Kudo and Asuka Hayazaki. See ya.